Good morning. For those who were here last week, we had a lesson, lessons that we learned from Mary, the mother of Jesus. And in that study, we made mention of how the devil is very much interested in our children. That the devil is focused on our families. And we all know, and I believe that most would readily agree, that as goes the home, so goes the nation. Our study this morning is going to be on the home, and you'll see that it's part one. We will deal with part two on our next study on Sunday morning. But the home under attack is what we want to focus on. And certainly the purpose of the study is to open our eyes to that fact, and to encourage Christians in every location to put forth the necessary effort, that we put forth the necessary measures to safeguard our homes against Satan's attack. If you ask yourself, how do we do that? Well, in simple, what we just read, having the same kind of commitment in serving the Lord as did Joshua. There's we read there in Joshua 24:15. And generally speaking, I believe that parents, that we want our families to be saved. We want a good family. We want a wholesome family. But there's an ongoing battle that's happening in every home. Our homes are under attack, and if we want our families to be saved, both in the temporal realm and in the more important eternal realm, it's not going to happen accidentally. It's not going to happen without work. And so that's what we want to engage in our study. And this study is going to be more with the why Satan is so interested in our home, and in our next study, how he attacks our home. But as we begin, Satan, he's always looking for ways to destroy the works of God. He's always looking for ways to do that. In fact, the Bible tells us that the devil, Satan, is all about destruction. In fact, Peter said in 1 Peter 5 and in verse 8 that the devil is a roaring lion seeking what? Seeking those who he may devour. He's all about destruction. And Satan doesn't attack from just one direction. Remember what Paul said in Ephesians 6 verse 16. He talks about Satan's fiery darts. That he fires from all different directions, and you keep that text within its context, and that tells us why it's important that we put on the whole armor of God each day, not just certain days when we think we're going to encounter certain situations or circumstances, but each and every day that we put on the whole counsel of God. We see that in Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. But when you think about Satan's fiery darts and his attack coming from all angles, we may be successful in deflecting a few darts, but it only takes one or two for Satan to have an opportunity to tear us down. And certainly when we talk about the fact that Satan is all about destroying the works of God, he wants to destroy the church. If you destroy the church, you destroy Christianity. You destroy Christianity, you destroy the reason for which Christ died. You destroy the reason for which Christ died, you destroy the plan of God that he had from all eternity. Satan is very interested in destroying the church. And to destroy the church, he's not just attacking the individual Christian. Satan is attacking the very fabric of society that has allowed the church to flourish in the past. Have you ever noticed, and certainly you have, that the church is not growing like it once had? You think back, you can go to the first century, right? You can see how the language was added and added and added and then multiplied and multiplied. The church was growing. And from that time, we see that the church isn't growing as she once had. What has changed? Certainly not the message. The message hasn't changed at all. But there are forces at work in society. There are forces at work that make it difficult for the seed of the gospel to take root and to grow. And those forces not only impact our ability to reach the lost with the gospel, but it's impacting our own families as well. And think about the amount of damage that Satan could do, that Satan obviously has done, because the church isn't growing as she once had. So he's had some success, and he's going to continue to have success if parents aren't sharing their faith with their children. If we're not living our faith before our children. And you say, well, this is dealing with parents with children at home. No, because our children are watching you as well. There's not a single one who is exempt from the responsibility of putting forth a good example. It's vital. And what has Satan done? Satan's been very influential, at least in times past, in changing the definition of a family. Right? We look at society today and he's changing the definition of a family. What constitutes a family? Brothers and friends, not too long ago the idea was clear. That a family consisted of a husband and a wife and their children. And the extended families were other relatives either by birth or by marriage. We understand that. And some families, yes, they experienced tragedy that took a member of their family away, but the basic structure remained the same. And I understand, as do you, down through the years, not everyone met the standard, but everyone understood and acknowledged the ideal. Because regardless of what you want to say and or do, Genesis 2:24 says the same. The core of the family is husband and wife. But in the 1960s, there was an effort to blur the idea of marriage. What happened then? Well, we had unrestricted sex outside the bonds of marriage. What happened in the 60s? Alternative marriage arrangements such as communes and mate sharing and living together. What happened in the 60s? Well, these things that happened, they weren't just happening. They were being glorified in textbooks as social experimentation. This is Satan at work. And this was happening in the 60s. Some over the years, some of those ideas have faded out because they're just unworkable relationships, but some have continued, and those that have continued are an absolute mockery of God's institution. When the world speaks of living together, the Bible calls it fornication. When the world talks about mate sharing or living together or sharing spouses, the Bible calls it adultery. But you know, friends, the fact of the matter is, people don't always want to hear what the Bible says. Just as Isaiah the prophet said long ago, as the people were way back then, so the people are even this day. They don't care what the Bible has to say. There, as the prophet would go on to say in Isaiah 28 verses 9 through 13, people just don't want to live their lives by what they perceive to be rules. You always talk about hearing people say, well, Christianity is all about rules. There's too many rules. There's rules in everything you do. There are rules in school. There are rules at work. There are rules in society. Rules are there for a reason. Rules are there so that we may succeed. But the blurring continues this day with the push to accept homosexual relationships as though they were just another alternative to the marriage of husband and wife. You know, I don't think that the people... I was born in 72, and I don't think the people in the 1970s would have even thought that in just 20 years, it wouldn't be considered wrong, not only considered wrong to speak against the sin of homosexuality, but that society would go as far as to legitimize it with benefits and talk of recognized, state recognized same sex. They refer to them as marriages, but God sees them as just unions. Look how far we have come. And when I say come, I'm not talking about have risen and improved and bettered ourselves. Look how far we've fallen. The fact of the matter is the people love to have it this way. So we have to ask ourselves, who's in charge? Who's in charge? And really maybe that's individually assessed, but the altering of rules that govern society today, friends, they have their predictable results. What have we seen? Our society is rapidly becoming more and more violent. You go back through the study of the years, in the way back in the several decades, how great life was because of a belief in God, a desire to do His will. Now they got government taking God out of the picture, and people are doing what they want, and what has happened? We're just continually spiraling downward. And in fact, the depressing thing to hear is the response. Whereas we should be hearing, oops, I made a mistake, and let's get back to the safe ground. What we're hearing is, we told you there would be problems, and we need more fixes. Those problems came about because of your so-called fix. And those problems keep getting worse because of your so-called fixes. I've heard, you've heard, we know people that are blaming today's woes on Christians and on the Christian principles that we used to hold and follow and abide by. And I'm not talking about just those in the Lord's church, because obviously we still do. I'm talking about in our nation. The efforts to take In God We Trust off our coin. That should tell us something. God told us this would happen, right? He said, it is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. Jeremiah 10:23. Man cannot direct his own path. Solomon said, how can a man understand his own way? Proverbs 20:24. And what does he mean by that? Man can't see the full conclusion. Man can't see the conclusion. He can't see the end result of that path. Why? Because he hasn't been there before. The inspired wise man, Jeremiah the prophet and Solomon, the wisest man on earth, they're telling us that we have to have a higher authority to lead us. We have to have a higher authority. And when I'm talking about higher authority, I'm not talking about the government. But friends, can you not answer this question? Have you noticed how society is taking over aspects of the family? Think about that. Years ago, the idea was planted, fathers are not, they're no longer adequate providers. So government's going to step in and help. Parents, you work too long, you work too hard, and so we have government-sponsored child care. Social experimentation that we were talking about, that was glorified in textbooks way back in the 60s, that's being encouraged, that's being advocated and encouraged in our schools. And superintendents are now telling parents that you don't have any say over what happens to your children when they are at school. Excuse me? They're my children. What are we teaching our children? God meant what He said when He told parents to train up a child in the way he should go. Proverbs 22:6. Why did He say that? Why did He give us that instruction? Because God knew what was coming. God knew how important it would be for parents to provide for their children a sure and solid foundation. And that foundation is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:11. Let's consider a moment what our children are being taught. What are the schools teaching our children? And when I'm addressing this subject, I'm not advocating for or against homeschooling. Homeschooling has its pros and its cons, and each family has to determine what's best for them. But we need to know what our schools are teaching our children. What are they teaching our children? That sex outside of marriage, that's okay, so long as you're careful. Schools are teaching our children that people can't help being homosexuals because they were born that way, and we have to accept them. And not them as homosexuals, but it as far as the practice of homosexuality. Schools are teaching our children that independent thinking is good. And I'm not opposed to it, but the insinuation is you don't have to listen to your parents. Because their ideas are not necessarily your ideas. What are schools teaching their children? Our children? They're teaching situation ethics. Situation ethics is a mentality that there are no absolute right and wrong. That everything depends on the situation. That's what schools are teaching our children. And that's not an exhaustive list. There are other things, obviously, but these are some of the main ones that at least came to my mind. Apart from what the schools are teaching our children, what is society teaching our children? Society is teaching our children that there's too much child abuse, so we need to eliminate all forms of physical discipline. And so when they sought to eliminate all forms of physical discipline, what happens? Now you've got issues with children not respecting authority. And our prison cells are growing and growing and growing. Why? Because no one respects authority. What is society teaching our children? That abortion is a legitimate means of birth control. And society is teaching our children a lot of other things. But ask yourself, what is media teaching our children? And that's going to be a part of our study, in our next study in the how Satan attacks our family. But what is media teaching our children? Well, like schools are teaching that sex outside of marriage is common. And the fact that it's common, that's acceptable then. Media is saying that foul language, That's the normal way of talking. Homosexuality continues to be a major media event. Commercials that glorify nudity or that public display of undergarments as fashion statements. I know we could go on and on and on in these lists, but all I wanted to say is this. With this garbage in our children's mind, what kind of habits are being formed? You see, God knew what He was saying, right? Train up a child in the way he should go. Because he's going to be taught all kinds of stuff. And they need to have an anchor that's sure and steadfast. When people ask why Satan is so interested in the home, we answer, he's been like this from the beginning. Since Genesis chapter 3, he interrupted the marriage of Adam and Eve. And in the very next chapter, his influence was so great that a brother killed a brother. And even from that time on, the home has been his focus. Here's why. Number one, he aims in general to destroy what God has created. That's his very nature. That's what we just said at the beginning. He's all about destruction. But second, he wants to destroy the message of our marriage. And if that doesn't make sense to you, it will when you look at Ephesians chapter 5. Because in Ephesians chapter 5, what is he saying? That marriage is a picture of Christ and the church. So if Satan is able to destroy my marriage, then I cannot model the gospel by loving my wife Heather as Christ loved the church. Number three, Satan hates our children. He hates our children. He's not interested in their well-being. He's interested in their destruction. He delights when our so-called adult decisions steer them away from God. And steer them away from God's will. Steer them away from the church. And let me say this. Failure to be faithful in attendance, all that does is make the devil smile. Brethren, we need to love our children enough to model the gospel. We need to love our children enough to love God like we're supposed to. The enemy wants to take out the primary place of disciple making. That's why he's interested in our homes, because the first place in making disciples is in the home. That's where parents are to disciple their children, so to speak. Discipline, disciple, train. When a home is messed up, what? Then the church's disciple making work is only made that much harder. Another thing that Satan wants to do, he wants to harm our spiritual influence. Satan loses us to his kingdom when we put on Christ in baptism. But even at that point, he doesn't walk away. He doesn't back off. In fact, the battle only gets that much stronger. He wants us back in his kingdom. Now, he can't rip us away from God's kingdom. He can't. But he can dim our light for the gospel. And he's done that. And we're allowing him to continue to do that. Along the same line, Satan wants to remove people from ministry. And you can think back over the years and you can look at sound gospel preachers and gospel teachers and good Christian families that were models of the gospel who had family problems and then fell away from the church. That's Satan's work. He wants to remove people from the ministry. He wants to so destroy our homes that we're so occupied with me and myself and what it looks like and That what? We're so consumed with these other things that there's no longer any room left for ministry. Why is Satan so interested in our home? We're going back to what we said in the beginning. The home is the life of a nation. And when homes are influenced by Satan, then the nation is influenced by Satan. And this is what God tells us in Psalm 9 verse 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. Where does righteousness begin? Where are we taught earliest in life the difference between right and wrong? In the home. And think about the situation in America today. You think about where we are today. When did immorality begin its rapid ascent? When did it begin? And I believe it increased more and more when more and more homes became broken and dysfunctional. Satan knows where to focus his attention. And the second thing is, the home, in many respects, it's the life of the church. It's the life of the church. If we can get the home right, if we can get the home right, it's going to help ensure that the church stays right. Think about it, folks, brethren, we are grooming today the leaders of the church tomorrow. Parents, that's the mentality we need to have. In our home is the next preacher. In our home is the next Bible class teacher. In our home is a good Christian spouse that's going to marry a preacher and a teacher. That's how we need to be thinking in our homes. And perhaps the greatest question that we as parents have to face is, are we leaving the church in better or worse hands? The future of the Lord's church depends in large part on what parents are doing today. So it's vitally important that our home life reflect the biblical pattern. It's clear why Satan is so interested in the home. Because that's the bulk of the battle. That's the bulk of the battle. As we draw to a close this morning, in this lesson we dealt more so with the why. Why is he so interested? Why is the devil so interested in my children? Now, why is he so interested in my home? And our next study on Sunday morning is going to be how Satan attacks the home. But as we close this study, it's important that we understand. Listen, nothing happened overnight. What we're seeing today is the accumulation of small changes that have happened over the years. And those changes aren't going to stop. If history shows anything, it shows that it's likely to get worse. We need to heed the voices of reason. Philippians 2:14-16. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life. You can't hold fast the word of life if you don't know it. And you can't hold fast the word of life if you're not living it. But if we want to shine like lights in the world, we need to hold fast the word of life so that we may rejoice, as Paul says here That he specifically is saying that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I haven't run in vain and labored in vain. Our homes need to hold fast the word of life. Brothers and friends, at this time we're going to extend the invitation. If there are those in this assembly who know that their life is not right with God, this is an opportunity to make it right. There may be some here this morning who have not yet put on Christ in baptism. And as an accountable soul, if you know that you need to put on Christ in baptism and you're ready for that lifetime commitment, we ask, why not now? If you're God's child but you strayed from the faith, this is an opportunity to repent, confess, and be restored. You know what, accountable souls? We can walk out the doors of this building today right with God and ready for our Lord's return. We stand ready to assist you. If you have a need of any kind, we encourage you to come forward as together we stand and together we sing.